Hello and greetings, everyone. This is the 48th episode of the podcast Then and Now. I'm John Shomo, your host. And this week we will, as usual, look at the facts, birthdays, etc. for the week of January 24th through the 30th. We will get into two or three topics aside from those things. And then we'll close with three good questions. And we actually have three good questions this week. We'll answer a couple of them and leave one for you to ponder for the next week's episode. First off, before we do any of those things, congratulations to the 2024 Ohio State Buckeyes football team, national champions, Ohio State's ninth national championship of all time. You can catch more talk about that on our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter, which you can also access on Spotify. But it was certainly thrilling to watch the Buckeyes beat Notre Dame and win the championship this past Monday night down in Atlanta. What a journey for those guys. What a journey for the coaching staff. Coach Ryan Day and his family endured a lot of crap, let's put it honestly, from people after they lost to the team up north. And what a redemption story that was. But happy times and congratulations to the Buckeyes. It was wonderful to see. Okay. Let's move on. It is the week of January 24th through the 30th. Let's check out January 24th. On that date in 1848, gold was discovered at Sutter's Mill, California, not far from Sacramento. That explains why the gold rush of 1849 happened. By the time word got out, remember, no television, radio, etc., in 1848, by the time word got out and spread around the globe of the discovery of gold in California, people planned their trips out there for the following year, and 1849 was the time that they really descended on the San Francisco Bay Area. The Boy Scouts were founded in England on January 24, 1908. Speaking of England, one of the greatest leaders in British history, Sir Winston Churchill, passed away at the age of 90 on January 24, 1965. Birthdays for January 24th include Neil Diamond, who will turn 84. John Belushi, the great comic, star-crossed, did himself in, really, in a way. John Belushi, born January 24th, 1949. He passed away far too young in 1982. Olympic gold medalist in gymnastics at the 1984 Los Angeles Games, West Virginia native Mary Lou Retton will be 57. Ed Helms, the actor who starred as Andy Bernard in The Office, among other roles, Ed Helms will be 51. And the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams already has a Super Bowl title under his belt, Sean McVay, Miami of Ohio graduate, as I recall. Sean McVay will be 39 on January 24th. Moving to the 25th, the first Winter Olympic Games opened January 25th, 1924, in the little town of Chamonix in France. Here are the only sports, if you will, that were contested in that Olympic Games. And I'm going to read them off here. Bobsled, curling, yay, curling, ice hockey, Nordic skiing, and speed skating and figure skating. Those were the only sports. They have a lot more, obviously, in the Winter Olympic Games now, but those were the sports contested in the first Winter Olympic Games in Chamonix in 1924. Bubble wrap was introduced on January 25th, 1960. Who doesn't like bubble wrap? The first live television, televised, if you will, presidential news conference by President Kennedy, the newly inaugurated President Kennedy, was held on January 25th, 1961. President Kennedy made that a weekly event, taking live questions from reporters in front of a television camera. We were much better served as citizens when he did that. That was a great service to the citizens of the United States to see the press and asking live questions of the sitting president of the United States. Those have whittled away to nothing in the past couple of decades, and it's a shame, really. We deserve that. Birthdays on January 25th, General George Pickett, the ill-fated leader of the charge at Gettysburg on the third day. George Pickett, he survived that charge, by the way, born January 25th, 1825. Cleveland Browns Hall of Famer, the great Lou Groza, Lou the Toe Groza, born January 25th, 1924. He retired as the leading scorer in the history of the National Football League. He also played offensive tackle for a number of years in addition to being the Browns' place kicker. New York Jets Hall of Famer, the late Don Maynard. The late Don Maynard was born. I almost thought he was still alive there. Sorry. Born January 25th, 1937. He was Joe Namath's favorite target in the clutch for those Jets teams of the late 1960s. Steve Prefontaine, the Oregon distance runner, who passed away way too young. Steve Prefontaine, born January 25th, 1951. And singer Alicia Keys will be 44 on January 25th. January 26th, Happy Australia Day. The first British settlement in Australia was founded January 26, 1788. The state up north became the 26th state of the Union on January 26, 1837. Louisiana seceded from the Union January 26, 1861. Charles Manson was found guilty on that date in 1971. Long story short, Charles Manson was a cult leader, hippie type, failed musician, who convinced a number of people to follow him in a commune in the late 1960s. Some of those people, at his direction, committed two ghastly mass murders in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles area, I should say, in the summer of 1969. Manson was found guilty, spent the rest of his life in jail. He died a few years ago now. January 26, 1978, marked what we know as the blizzard of 1978. And it was a doozy, folks. It was wind like you haven't seen, 60-mile-an-hour wind, snow blowing sideways. It really was something, having lived through that one. Really sad anniversary. It'll be 5 years since the helicopter crash in Southern California that killed Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna, and seven other passengers of that helicopter. That was a bad day. It really was. Birthdays for January 26th include the former First Lady Julia Dent Grant, Ulysses S. Grant's wife, born January 26, 1826. General Douglas MacArthur, leader of the U.S. Army in the Pacific in World War II and in the Korean War until he was fired by President Truman. Douglas MacArthur, born January 26, 1880. Louis Zamperini, the hero of the film and book Unbroken, born January 26, 1917, lived to be about 100 years old, as I recall. Actor Paul Newman, born Shaker Heights, Ohio, went to Kenyon College here in Ohio, born 100 years ago, January 26, 1925. Somebody that just passed away and that will be sorely missed, the great Bob Uecker, would have been 91 on this January 26th. Bob Uecker died this past week. Just one of the greats. He made baseball so much fun. I envy the folks in Milwaukee who got to listen to him on a daily basis. But we know somewhere Bob Uecker's got a seat in the front row. Eddie Van Halen, born January 26, 1955. He passed away during the COVID time period, as I recall. Ellen DeGeneres will be 67. And the great one, Wayne Gretzky, still the leader in goals in NHL history. Alex Ovechkin of the Washington Capitals is pushing that record right now. But Wayne Gretzky will be 64 on January 26th. Moving to the 27th, Thomas Edison got his patent for his incandescent light bulb, the kind of light bulb most of us are used to, on January 27th, 1880. The Nazi death camps at Birkenau and Auschwitz were liberated on January 27th, 1945. Never forget, people. The Apollo 1 fire that killed the crew, Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee, died in a fire aboard their spacecraft at the Cape, January 27, 1967. They were running a dress rehearsal, if you will, for the launch of Apollo 1. A spark was lit somehow in the pure oxygen environment of the cabin of the Apollo 1 command module, and they all passed away. President Nixon announced the end to the military draft, January 27, 1973. Birthdays include Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, one of the greats in music history, born January 27, 1756. Founder of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Arthur J. Rooney, just treated almost as a godlike figure in the city of Pittsburgh. Art Rooney, born January 27th, 1901. He did so much for the city in addition to owning the Steelers and being kind of a lovable guy, chomping on a cigar. A lot of civic ventures funded by him. Mikhail Baryshnikov will be 77. The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Roberts, will be 70. And NBC Sunday Night Football announcer, former Cincinnati Bengals star Chris Collinsworth, will be 66. Moving to January 28th, the U.S. Coast Guard was founded on that date in 1915. Legos, yay, first introduced on January 28th, 1958. Another space tragedy, the Challenger disaster, happened on January 28th, 1986, when the space shuttle Challenger exploded 73 seconds after liftoff in front of a worldwide television audience. Never will forget that day. One of the seven astronauts killed was a fellow graduate of Akron Firestone High School, Judy Resnick, class of 1966. Birthdays include St. Thomas Aquinas, born January 28, 1225. Actor Alan Alda, the beloved actor from MASH, from The West Wing, from so many other projects, Alan Alda will be 89 on January 28th. Five-time NBA championship coach Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs. We hope he's recovering from a recent health issue. I think it was a stroke, I heard. Pop, get better. He'll be 76 on January 28th. Three-time major champion in professional golf, Nick Price of Zimbabwe, formerly South Africa, will be 68. He won the PGA Championship in 1992 and again in 1994, and won the Open Championship in 1994, doubled up that year. U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice Amy Coney Barrett will be 53. January 29, 1861, Kansas admitted as the 34th state. It was very controversially admitted as a free state, which was one of those events that kind of spurred on the Civil War. More about that later on in some other episode, I'm sure. The American League of Professional Baseball Teams was organized in Philadelphia in a hotel January 29, 1900. They would begin play in 1901. Here are the eight original American League teams. Chicago, still the White Sox. Baltimore, who eventually moved and became the New York Yankees. Milwaukee, which moved after 1 year to St. Louis, became the St. Louis Browns, moved again in 1954 to Baltimore and became the Orioles. Boston, Red Sox. Detroit, Tigers. Cleveland, many names, now the Guardians. Philadelphia Athletics, who moved to Kansas City, who moved to Oakland, and who are in the process of moving temporarily, at least, to Sacramento. And Washington, the Washington Senators, original Washington Senators, who moved in 1961 and became the Minnesota Twins. Those were the eight original American League franchises. The 18th Amendment to the Constitution was ratified on January 29, 1919. It made America basically a dry country, forbade the sale, distribution, etc., of alcoholic beverages. The first five Baseball Hall of Famers were elected on January 29, 1936. They were Ty Cobb, Babe Ruth, Honus Wagner, Christy Mathewson, and Walter Johnson. That's a pretty good group, I think. Thomas Paine, the author of the pamphlet Common Sense, which really spurred a lot of Americans on to the Revolution. Thomas Paine, born January 29, 1737. Our 25th president, William McKinley, from Niles, Ohio, lived in Canton much of his life, born January 29, 1843. Actor Tom Selleck will be 80. Oprah Winfrey will be 71. Two-time Olympic gold medalist in diving, Greg Louganis, will be, let's see, do the math here, 65. Wow, that makes me feel old. 2020 American League Most Valuable Player, then from the Chicago White Sox, Jose Abreu, will be 38. And a beloved figure at Talmadge High School, the one, the only, Mr. Mark Swindell, will be celebrating his birthday on January 29th. Happy birthday, Mr. Swindell. Finally, on January 30th, Thomas Jefferson reestablished the Library of Congress. It had been burned by the British in the War of 1812. Originally, the library was founded in 1800. Burned by the British in 1812, Jefferson reestablished it by donating 6,500 of his own volumes on January 30th, 1815. Yeah, Thomas Jefferson was pretty well read. Hitler was appointed Chancellor of Germany by President Paul von Hindenburg on January 30th, 1933. Gandhi was assassinated, the Mahatma, on January 30th, 1948. The Viet Cong and the North Vietnamese launched the Tet Offensive, which was the turning point in terms of the American public's favoring or not favoring us continuing in the Vietnam War. The Tet Offensive was launched January 30th, 1968. The Beatles performed their last live gig, the one on the rooftop of their Apple headquarters in London, on January 30th, 1969. Our 32nd president and one of the very best, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, born at Hyde Park, New York, January 30th, 1882. Actor Gene Hackman will be 95. Former Vice President Dick Cheney will be 84. Phil Collins will be 74. Two-time U.S. Open golf champion, he repeated, 1988 and 89, Curtis Strange will be 70. Three-time major winner, the late, great Payne Stewart, won the U.S. Open in 1991 and again at Pinehurst in 1999, won the PGA Championship in 1989, passed away in a terrible plane accident in 1999, in the fall of 99. Payne Stewart was born January 30th, 1957. Speaker of the House from Louisiana, Mike Johnson, will be 53, and the actor Christian Bale will be 51. And I believe my former colleague and predecessor as THS Boys Golf Coach, Jim Arbor, will be celebrating a birthday on January 30th. Happy birthday, Arbs. All right, that'll do it. That's a pretty long list, but there was a lot going on in late January historically. So there's that. Now let's move on to a couple of topics. I want to mention and tackle a topic that's in the news right now, and that is the 14th Amendment to the Constitution and the idea of quote-unquote birthright citizenship. I'm just going to read Section 1 of the 14th Amendment to you. Listen carefully pay attention to the words here. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. That's obviously an issue because there's a lot of chatter about the new president, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, nullifying, if you will, birthright citizenship in the United States. Some critics of his have said, well, that means that his children couldn't be citizens either because they were born to mothers that were not American citizens, natural-born American citizens. That is not true, by the way. All of Trump's children would still be citizens, even if he did what he wants to do, because he's a citizen and therefore parental citizenship would be granted. But there's Section 1 of the 14th Amendment. It's pretty clear. All persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States. It's hard to get around that, I would think. How would this be nullified? You would have to pass another constitutional amendment. We did that once, and I mentioned it in the Facts of the Week. The 18th Amendment, the Prohibition Amendment, was taken back by the 21st Amendment. That's the process that would have to occur if you were going to change the citizenship part of the Constitution. And, it's kind of inane for him to suggest that, and I shouldn't be surprised at that. But I would remind him also of the third section of the 14th Amendment, which in part says, no person shall be an officer of the United States, having taken an oath. No person shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. That would nullify people, if you will, from being an officer in the United States government. I should just point that out in this present day time that we're living in. Okay. All right. Enough of the serious stuff. Let's get to the fun part. The NFL playoffs continue on Sunday. There's a segue for you. It's Championship Sunday. The two games will be the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. That's 3 o'clock Eastern time on Fox on Sunday, followed by the Buffalo Bills traveling to Kansas City, a well-worn path for them, to play the Kansas City Chiefs. That'll be 6:30 Sunday evening on CBS. Right now, for those of you who are interested in such things, the Eagles are 6-point favorites at home, and the Kansas City Chiefs are 2-point favorites at home against Buffalo. They should be more points favored, Kansas City should be, if they keep treating Patrick Mahomes, especially the referees, I believe. Also, from the world of sports, congratulations to Ichiro Suzuki, CC Sabathia, the former Indians pitcher, and Billy Wagner for their election into the Baseball Hall of Fame this week. Ichiro was somehow one vote short of being unanimously elected. That voter, to me, should have to go public and explain themselves. That's happened before. My wife and I had a really good discussion about this last night. There's only been one person elected unanimously to the Baseball Hall of Fame, and that was just a couple of years ago. The Yankees closer Mariano Rivera was elected unanimously. Nobody else was. Joe DiMaggio didn't even get in on his first year of voting. How does that happen? I think some of these people who have Hall of Fame votes should have their votes revoked, their privileges revoked. I just can't understand. Who could look at the career of Ichiro Suzuki and not call him a Hall of Famer? He had 1,000 hits in the Japanese Professional League before he even came over here and had over 3,000 hits here. He had over 4,000 hits in professional baseball. One of the best, I considered him the best defensive right fielder I've seen since Roberto Clemente. And if you know me, that is quite a compliment to anybody. But my goodness, you know, how can somebody fill out, how can somebody be entrusted in filling out a Hall of Fame ballot and leave that name off in his first year of eligibility? Anyway, there's my little rant on that. Ichiro, CC, and Billy Wagner, congratulations to them. A couple of other players got close. Carlos Beltran, the fine outfielder from several teams, got 70.3% of the vote. You need 75% to be elected. And the former Braves star center fielder, Andruw Jones, received 66.2% of the votes. Nobody else got more than, got even 40% of the vote. I certainly would have voted for both Carlos Beltran and Andruw Jones, you know, just because I would. And I think they will get in at some point here. So congratulations to those three men, and they will be inducted this summer into the Baseball Hall of Fame, as will the voice of the Indians and Guardians, Tom Hamilton. He'll go into the announcer's wing of the Baseball Hall of Fame. That is a richly deserved honor for Hammy, that's for sure. Now it's time for three good questions. You can send in your questions, and this week we've had three sent in. Thank you, guys. The email address, once again, is 3-T-H-R-E-E, good questions, at gmail.com. Here's question number one, sent by brother-in-law Mike. When was the last time the Big Ten had back-to-back national championships? Hey, did you hear? Ohio State's national champions. The team up north won it the year before. The last time that happened, and there's a claim out there that Michigan State won two in the mid-1960s, but one of those was from kind of a suspect organization, and I'm not gonna go there. I'm gonna say it's the 1940 and 41 Minnesota Golden Gophers, and then the 1942 Ohio State Buckeyes. That was three in a row for Big Ten teams in the early 1940s. Minnesota's 1940 team was 8-0. Undefeated. They beat four top 10 teams. That certainly qualifies one. The 1941 Gophers also went 8-0, led by the Heisman Trophy winner that year, their quarterback Bruce Smith. And the 1942 Ohio State Buckeyes lost at Wisconsin 17-7, but won the rest of their games, and they were voted national champions under the head coach Paul Brown, who then left to go to the service in World War II and eventually founded the Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals. So there's the answer. Thank you, Mike, for the question. Second question here. We'll answer this one on the air today. It's from Jeff Cole. Only four National Football League coaches have won 300 games. That includes playoff wins. How many can you name? four NFL coaches with 300 or more, including playoffs, games won on their resume. I'll stop for 2 seconds here in case you want to pause it and guess yourself. Okay, here they are. Don Shula, Bill Belichick, the new head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels, George Halas, founder of the Chicago Bears, and Andy Reid, the current head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. He has 273 regular season wins plus 40-some playoff wins, and he'll look to add another one this coming Sunday. So there we go. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff, for the question. This one we'll wait on, and we'll give you the answer next week. It's also from Jeff. Name the only three active quarterbacks to start and never lose a conference championship game. The only three active quarterbacks still in the league to start and never lose a conference championship game. I think I got one when I guessed. So we'll wait on that one. We'll hold the answer back for a week, and we'll give you the answer next week on the next episode of Then and Now. How's that? Again, if you want to send us a question or if you have any comments, any questions at all about the podcast or really anything, give us a shout on the email here. It's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. And thanks to everybody for contributing there. That should wrap it up for this week. Very full boat there for this episode. Once again, thanks for choosing us out there. You can get us on Spotify. This is Then and Now. I'm John Shomo. Have a good week, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.